Let me just briefly share how I came to know Jesus. I had the amazing privilege of having parents who loved Jesus, who taught me about Jesus when I was a kid, who used to sit at the breakfast table and read the Bible to me every morning. And I had two brothers, and there were days when it went okay, and there were days when we got the fit of giggles and we laughed all the way through, and Dad was trying to pray and we were laughing. So if you're a parent and that happens to you, take comfort. I now have three boys, and that happens to me. I try and read the Bible with my kids every morning. Sometimes it goes okay, sometimes it's a car crash. But I'm very grateful to God, parents who taught me about Jesus. And so I think when I was a teenager, I realized that Jesus had died for me. I realized that I needed saving. I realized that he was my hope. And I trusted him. And I can't put a date on it particularly, I don't think. I trusted him. Then I went to university to study chemistry. And I studied chemistry for 4 years. And in my first year at university, I had a massive kind of crisis thing, where I began to ask the question, do I just believe this because my parents told me to? And I'm confronted. So I had a professor at university who was a man called Peter Atkins. He's a very famous, well-known atheist who's written books. He'd often get phone calls during tutorials with him. He'd get phone calls from the BBC saying, we've got a documentary coming up. Can you come and tell us why God doesn't exist? He was that kind of guy, right? And I'd sit with him every week, and it really challenged my faith. And I thought, I really need to decide if this is true or if this is just something I believe because I was told to. So I looked at it and I thought about it in a completely new way. And it was particularly reading the Bible book of Romans and going through the book of Romans. I began to see, really for the first time, just the beauty of what Jesus had done. There is no way that this is a made-up thing. No way. It so makes sense of everything that I see in the world, and it fits my experience, and it fits, and it in there such truth that God would love me that much. So I began to really take seriously that and to live much more seriously as a Christian at that point. My professor hated it. And he used to deliberately kind of blaspheme in tutorials to try and wind me up. And we had some interesting discussions. At the final chemist's dinner, he said to me, what are you going to do when you leave university? I said, I'm going to go and be a pastor. And he said, oh, God. And then he said, you don't seriously believe that the Bible is true, do you? And I said, yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. And he said, we're going to have to stop talking about this because I'm going to get very angry. Do you see? It's like, anyway. Since then, I met the most wonderful godly woman who I married. Praise God for her. We moved to Enfield in North London. I had a real sense that God was calling me to be a pastor. I wanted to teach the Bible. I was quite an impatient 22-year-old. I wanted to get on with it. My pastor in Enfield said, just be patient, stop faffing around. So I got a job in London. I worked for about 6 months, which I thought was really patient. And then opportunity came up at the church, and he took me on. He trained me. I was with him for 7 years, then led a church plant from the church in Enfield, led that for 7 years, then left that a year ago to go and plant a church in central London called Globe Church. So we're kind of exactly a year behind you guys. So I'm watching you guys. One of the reasons I wanted to come this morning is to watch what you're doing, because you're kind of a year ahead of us. So I kind of look at you and I think, okay, that's what we need to do in the next year. We've got quite a lot of work to get to where... anyway, so it's been a real joy, a real privilege to be involved in church planting. We meet... I mean, venues are a pain, aren't they? Trying to find a venue that works and you try and... so confusing. But we found a venue. We're meeting there. We're looking for other things. But we really covet your prayers. We love partnership in the gospel. We're really excited about what you're doing in Croydon. And we're looking forward to future partnerships in all sorts of ways. I hope that's vaguely helpful.
That's more than vaguely helpful. Stay up for a second, bro. Let me pray for you, and then we'll carry on. Father God, thank you for Jonty. Thank you for testing his faith with this chemistry professor. Thank you that being a Christian isn't checking your brain at the door and believing pie in the sky when you die. It stands up philosophically, rationally, archaeologically, historically. Most of all, it stands up because those who taste it just see it for the self-authenticating, mind-blowing truth that it is. So thank you that Jonty tested his and came out the other side, and thank you for bringing him to beautiful Linda, his wife. Thank you for their three boys. Father, please keep him close to you personally. Help him to be a good husband, a good dad, and a good pastor. And help him to speak to us faithfully this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.